We start in Canberra, where the nation's capital will tomorrow for the first time host a test match. It's the last of the summer, and Australian coach Justin Langer, just as he did at the outset of the test summer, is with me again. Justin, welcome back to SEN.
Yeah, morning, Jared. It's nice to be talking to you from Canberra.
Yes, how is it shaping up for this first test for the nation's capital?
Oh, it's a magnificent cricket ground. It's the outfield's like carpet. The wicket looks pretty good. And there's a bit of some excitement around the test match here. So it's looking good. The boys will have some confidence coming in from Brisbane. And we're really looking forward to finishing off the summer strong here in Australia.
The pitch, typically it's been a batsman's paradise. Probably too much so in the first class games that have been played there. What's your read?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I remember a few years ago playing here. We played the final Sheffield Shield game against New South Wales. It was a magnificent pitch. There was a bit of grass left on it, and it would turn into a great game of cricket. And then 1 week later, we played the Shield final against New South Wales, and we could have played a 40-day Shield game. I reckon it's still not got a result. So hopefully we get something in the middle. I've been very public for a long time that the most important thing in Test cricket is the wickets we play on, because people, if it's a great game between bat and ball, then people stay intrigued in the game. If it's too flat, then people tend to switch off it. So we're really hopeful. There's some grass on it at the moment. We're hopeful it's going to be a great cricket wicket.
What was the win in Brisbane worth to morale, Justin?
Well, it's been a long summer, as you know, Jared. I mean, it was a great arm wrestle, the Indian series, and the lead up to that. So for the boys with a new team, we made some changes, obviously, to the batting order. A couple of the young guys stepped up in the middle there. It was great to see Jai Richardson on debut have such an impact. Pat Cummins as well, showing some leadership. So from that point of view, and to get a result after what's been a really tough summer was really pleasing and a real confidence booster for our young team.
Have you got a wish list? A century, an LBW from the Quicks?
Yeah, well, plenty of all of those. It would be nice. There's no doubt that we've talked for a long time about scoring hundreds and the impacts that can have on winning games of cricket and on impacts that can have on individual careers as well. So it'd be great to see one of our guys. It'd be great to see six of our guys score 100, but they're all working hard towards that. And obviously we saw some excellent bowling in Brisbane. So more of that from all our players would be great.
It is an anomaly, isn't it, that there hasn't been an LBW from the Quicks. How could that be through five test matches?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think the wickets in Sydney and Melbourne were that ball didn't swing as much as you like, and there wasn't much pace or bounce in it. So, I'm scratching my head to that one. We talk in every single cricket strategy meeting we have, whether it's in one day cricket or test cricket, we talk about attacking the stumps, hitting the stumps, hitting the top of off stump. Top and middle stump in the Indians' case. But, yeah, it's a good, strange one, but I haven't got an answer for you there.
So not a strategic question, more a question of execution, you think?
Oh, no doubt. We all talk about it. Even if you come into an Australian test preview of every game, we talk about the same things. We've been talking about the same things for a long time, but we look to swing the ball. We look to hit the stumps. Honestly, with that one, it's certainly not a strategic thing not to try and get bowls or LBWs, that's for sure.
Will you give Pat Cummins the new ball?
He's done a great job at first bowling first change for us. And it's always nice when Starkey gets the ball to swing. We saw that during the Indian series. If he gets the ball to swing back into the right-handers particularly, they've got a couple of left-handers, the Sri Lankans as well, he can be really dangerous. So, and Jai Richards as well swings the ball, and he was excellent with the new ball in Brisbane. So we'll wait and see. I'd be surprised if we change that combination, actually.
Yeah, so there's a craving in some parts for Cummins to have the new ball, but that's not really your thinking. Do you think he is the weapon where you have deployed him so well this summer?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, we'll look at it. We can look at it at different points, but we'll certainly keep backing in Mitchell Stark and Jai Richardson to do that job. I mean, if they did it that if they get the ball swinging, I know as an opening batsman, if any opposition bowler can swing the ball early, then you're always in the game. So, and knowing you've got someone like Pat Cummins with his pace, his length's been awesome, to come in again as an opening batsman, you think, it makes you nervous. So at this stage, I'd say we'll be sticking with that same combination, yes.
What's your view of Mitch Stark's form, which is so heavily debated at the moment?
Yeah, a lot of talk about Mitch Stark at the moment, isn't there? One thing I know, he's an elite athlete. I know that he just took his 200th test wicket just last week. So, and that's rare company, Gerard, as you know. Not many guys have the ability or the longevity to take 200 test wickets. His strike rate's really good. We'll keep backing him in. I think he's with the combination we've got at the moment, to have a tall left arm bowler who can bowl quick, and when he gets the ball swinging, is as dangerous as anyone in the world. It was funny though, I was just having breakfast with Brad Haddon, and we both remember the times there's always someone who's under the spotlight. There's always one person, and as a player, used to pray it wasn't you. So Starkey's going through it at the moment. He's not far off though. He bowled beautifully in the nets yesterday. Hopefully he's not far off having a real impact on one of these test matches.
Have you settled the team? Will you go unchanged?
Well, we're going to train this afternoon. Yesterday there was some grass on it, but they were spending some time on the roller. We go back to the initial question about the wicket here. We'll have a look at it this afternoon. My inkling or my gut feeling would be it's always nice to keep the same 11 after you've had a win. And sometimes it's nice to get the same 11 after you had a loss, actually. But in this case, we'll have a look this afternoon, and if there's that little bit of grass on it, I'd be surprised if we change the team.
What's your thought patterns around, Justin, and Test cricket's not like other sport, is to have a look at a couple of players and see how they go. And obviously, Will Pekowski and Marcus Stoinis Stoinis has brought back into the squad. Pekowski was clearly close in Brisbane. Is there any temptation to have a look at either of those in a test match from a futures perspective?
Oh, there's always temptation, of course, but one thing I know for absolute certain is test matches in a development squad. That's not the place to have a look at them. As long as I've been involved in Australian cricket, you look to pick the best 11 you possibly can for that test match. And my experience tells me if you do that enough, the future usually looks after itself. When we talk a lot about the World Cup coming up, the Ashes coming up, but usually if you get your best combinations and winning combinations, then the future, as I say, looks after itself. That's been my experience, and I don't see any reason to change that.
How did you end up making the decision around Will Pekowski for Brisbane?
It's all about timing, isn't it? We just felt that Curtis Patterson, and there's a few murmurs about that selection, him coming into the squad after we'd already named the squad a week or 10 days earlier or whatever. But to me, that was really, I was pleased with that decision. It showed some flexibility. It showed some common sense as well. I mean, Curtis Patterson was in career best form. He just scored 100 in both innings against the team we're playing with a pink ball. So it seemed to me a really positive decision. I thought Curtis looked like a test player the other day. He changed his rhythm of his batting a little bit when it looked like we were going to declare that night, have a few overs under lights. But I thought he looked like a test player. He's in really good form. And we're also been talking about trying to... Joe Byrne's got the nod at the top of the order because we've been talking about looking to get an established test opener in there. Joe Byrne's had really good numbers throughout the summer. He's had good numbers throughout his career. So that's the decision we made. It was tough on Will, but he's a terrific young bloke. We know he's really pleasing on the eye when you watch him bat. He's a good fielder. You can tell he's got a real growth mindset. He's always looking to learn, and his chance will come, and as it will with Marcus Stoinis, if he continues putting results on the board and performance on the board like he has in white ball cricket and to a lesser extent Shield cricket with Western Australia.
Justin, coming into the summer, there were six test matches, and then you've got none before the Ashes, and you've got a lot of important dates in there in other forms before you get to England. Is there any sort of enhanced sense of urgency about trying to solve some of the questions around the test squad, or is that for the back end of the Shield season, or do you not even have that luxury given the World Cup's dropped in before the Ashes?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's unprecedented, isn't it, to have a World Cup, and then we'll go away with our one-day side. We've got going to India in a couple of weeks after this Test match. Then we go to Dubai and we play Pakistan in 5 one-dayers. So there'll be a real white ball focus for the actual Australian cricket team leading into the World Cup, and that's a good preparation, I think. But we're also fortunate with the Ashes. We've got the using Duke balls. We've got the last 4 Shield games. There'll be 1 Sheffield Shield final. And traditionally, you see the guys who perform in Sheffield Shield finals usually put their name up for Australian selection. So there's 4 Shield games with the Duke's ball. There's a Shield final. Then we've got the Australian A Tour. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for guys to grab it. There'll be plenty of opportunities for us, obviously. David Warner and Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft come back into the fold. So there's going to be some real competition for spots. And then it's a matter of us just gelling the team together. But hopefully that's the lesser of our issues at the moment rather than getting the combination. We've got enough opportunities to get that right before the Ashes. I'm really looking forward to that.
Will you make any effort to leave some players in the Shield rather than take them to India to work on the red ball cricket with the Duke?
We'll talk about that, but I think, you know, with the World Cup and with the Australian A-Stars Tour and the 4 Sheffield Shield games back here, I think there's going to be opportunities for everyone to put their hand up. I honestly think that I'd be very surprised with our lead up to the World Cup if we think, oh, well, maybe we'll leave some guys home to get some Shield practice. I don't think that'll happen.
Yep. So the preparation for a World Cup becomes an absolute priority.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got such a proud history of World Cups in the Australian cricket team, haven't we? I mean, it's been brilliant. We're taking it very seriously. We've certainly got some questions at the moment, and we're working towards that. But again, with 2 overseas tours in spinning conditions, we expect spin to play a big part of the World Cup in England. So we'll get some good opportunities there, and then we have to focus on that for the World Cup. And with always in the back of our minds, or in the front of some of our people's minds, that the Ashes is obviously crucial as well, because there's no bigger contest, isn't there? So it's certainly a tight schedule with World Cup and Ashes back to back, but you know, we're up for the challenge, and you know, it could end up being a brilliant time in Australian cricket history or folklore over this next 6 months.
Kevin Roberts mentioned when we spoke to him in Sydney, Justin, that he began a conversation with you about what level of support you needed for these 3 huge tournaments. So obviously the World Cup, the Ashes, and then the T20 at home thereafter. Have you got anything in mind as to what would assist you to be able to coach for all of those? And he spoke about the need almost to prioritise, whether that was by timing or by importance.
Oh yeah, we're working through. I've been in the job probably 9 months or so now. I'm starting to get a feel for it. You know, we talk about getting your feet under the desk and starting to get a feel for it. And you know, we're constantly working on ways to have the team functioning at its best, not only on the field but also off the field. So we're working towards the perfect team, I guess. And that's, as I say, it's a work in progress.
The BBL debate that's been going on, this is a competition you've obviously known intimately in a couple of lengths, and now it's the longest. Do you have a view as to whether too much is too much?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the Big Bash at the moment, isn't there? And I guess my only view was that for the last 4, 5 or 6 years, it's been one of my favourite times of the year. I was obviously coaching the Scorchers. I'd get home at 4:10 every afternoon, or 5:10, I think, in Perth every afternoon, and be able to tell my family I'm working. So you sit down and have a Diet Coke or a beer and watch a game of cricket every night during the summer. It was just magic. And then you go to work, and I honestly have loved the Big Bash period. From afar now, there's obviously a lot of talk about it, and hopefully there'll be some great learnings from this summer. We're always looking to get it better. It's been a brilliant product. It's still, you know, an exciting product, but we've got to make sure that we keep refining it and polishing it So it's up there with the IPL as the great T20 tournament in the world. So I'm sure there'll be lessons learned from this summer, as there has been from the last few, and we keep making it into, or continue it to have it as a great T20 product.
Do you think you would have got away with sitting on the couch claiming work once the kids had gone back to school, which is what a lot of parents are probably grappling with right now?
No, it's a good question, actually. I wondered that last year, and I think my daughters, last year they'd just gone back, so they were allowed to come out of school one night to watch the semi-final. They probably wish they didn't, actually, the way we played against the Hobart Hurricanes at the new stadium last year. But, they're the questions that will certainly be raised. Like I say, there'll be big reviews at the end of this, and hopefully we'll continue to keep it as a great product.
Do you want to put an opinion forward? Should it be tighter?
Well, one thing I do know from an opinion, that there's a lot of talk about increasing salary caps and throwing more money at it. I don't think that's the answer. I honestly don't. I think that what I do know, Jared, is that the schedule of cricket is really, really tight. We've talked about this summer, having played white ball cricket in England, then we played T20 cricket, we played some test matches in the UAE, we played a pink ball test match, we played a four test match series, and we've got a big bash in between. I think if everyone continues focusing on having what the best schedule is in international and domestic cricket, then a lot of these answers will come to the surface, I think.
Yeah, not an easy spreadsheet to work through. Justin,
no,
good
certainly
luck,
not.
Good luck finishing off the test summer.
I thought the coach of the Australian cricket team was tough. Being the guys in charge of scheduling, I sat in a meeting for 2 hours the other day. I walked out of it with a headache, so good luck to those guys.
Good on you, Justin. Thanks again for your time, and good luck for Canberra.
Enjoy America, mate.